Corinthians 8. There is a sermon outline on the order of the on the inside of the order of service, if that's helpful for you. And as we come to God's word, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us your word. Father, we thank you that you speak to us in it. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to not only be hearers of your word, but also doers of your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you want to excel in? What do you want to excel in? In the 1980s action movie Top Gun, there's a guy called Maverick. His answer to that question is, I just want to serve my country, be the best fighter pilot in the Navy. What do you want to be good at? What do you want to excel in? Is it your exams? Is it your marks? Is it excelling in your workplace? Do you want to gain some kind of academic achievement? Do you want to have some kind of sporting achievement? Do you want to have some workplace or family achievement? What do you want to excel in? What do you want to be good at? This morning we're commencing a series on money and generosity from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And the key verse in our section for this morning in chapter 8 is verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 8. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Excel in this grace of giving. And as we look at these 15 or so verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to see that there are three reasons for excelling in the grace of giving. Three reasons for excelling in the grace of giving. Now, when Paul talks to the people at Corinth, he's speaking into a particular context. He's speaking into a particular situation. And the situation is that this money that Paul is talking to the Corinthians about is money that is being collected by Christians around the ancient Near East for the Jewish Christians who live in Jerusalem. It seems that the Jewish Christians are doing it tough. And so the churches, having heard of the hardship of the Christians in Jerusalem, have thought to themselves, hey, we're going to put some money together. We're going to send it to Jerusalem for the relief of the Christians who are there. And so that brings us to chapter 8, verses 1 to 5 of 2 Corinthians. Paul begins by telling the Corinthians about the Macedonians. Now remember, you've got two provinces in that area. You've got the province of Achaia, which is the Roman name for what we would call Greece. And then to the north of them, you have the province of Macedonia. And so Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about this other province, because Corinth is in the province of Achaia. He talks about the grace that has been given them. They've been given grace for generosity. They've been given grace in terms of how they use their money, because God is the source of that generosity. Usually when we think of grace, we think about divine favor, divine generosity, the divine attitude towards us. It's an attitude of grace, undeserved merit. And so you kind of think to yourself, well, how can a grace be given if it's an attitude, if it's divine favor, if it's the way that God thinks about sinful human beings like you and me? How can a grace be given? Well, grace is that, but it's also the outworking of that grace too. And so that's how God has given grace to the Macedonians. And how is it that they become generosity? How is it that they become generous? It wasn't through the good times. Did you notice? Paul says it wasn't through the good times. It was through the bad times. They learned to be generous when they were poor. They learned to be generous when they were suffering. But notice, it wasn't just about poverty. It wasn't just about being poor. Poverty on its own doesn't do anything. It was poverty and joy. It was out of these two things, out of poverty and out of joy, that their overflowing, abundant generosity came. Poverty and joy were the source of their giving. So why is it that joy is significant in this? Well, even when they were poor, they didn't despair. Even when they were poor, they didn't give up. They weren't consumed by their poverty. They weren't focusing on how poor they were, how little they had. They weren't focusing on how to get out of their poverty because of the joy which God gives. Even in poverty, they could be joyful because of what Jesus had done for them. Whether in poverty or prosperity, you might recall, Paul says that he was content. Even in their poverty, the Corinthians were still thinking of others. And they gave beyond their ability. That sounds a little bit strange. How can you give beyond your ability? How can you do something beyond your ability? You can't give money that you don't have, unless they borrowed money to give it away, which I don't think they did. And if they had done it, I would have told them off for doing it, but I don't think that's what they did. So perhaps they thought that they'd given as much as they could, and then they pushed beyond that. So perhaps they thought, I can give 20%. That's my ability. So then beyond their ability would be 25% or 30% or another percentage. I find running laps very boring. It's not something that I like to do. Perhaps you like to run laps as part of your training. I don't know if you're into that kind of thing. Maybe at one stage you've thought to yourself, or I've thought to myself, okay, I don't like doing laps, so I'm going to do 5 laps of the oval. So you go 1, 2, very boring, 3, very, very boring. It's just the same scenery, extremely boring. But you push through the pain, you push through the tiredness, the burning muscles, and the ragged breathing, and you do one more. You said you were going to do 5, but you do one more as you push through your ability. The Macedonians gave beyond their ability. And notice too that they gave themselves to God first and then to the apostles. This was not what the apostles expected. This is not what Paul expected. It seems perhaps that maybe Paul thought, oh, the Macedonians, they're going to give because the apostles have asked them to give. No, that's not what they did. They gave themselves first to God and then to the apostles, which is to say they gave because of God. They gave because of what God had done, rather than giving because they felt compelled by the apostles. They felt that they were constrained by the apostles. They had to give because the apostles had said, give. See, the Macedonians are a positive example. I want to be like the Macedonians. It's not a matter of better or worse. It's not playing a comparison game, but here is something good which another church is doing. Let's do the same. But in so doing, the motivation needs to be clear. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So following an example is good if that example is imitating Christ, because following him is the motivation. We do need to be careful of examples. We do need to be careful of examples, though, when they turn into substitutes for the grace of Christ, which is something that we're going to be talking about in a few moments' time. When competition or comparison is the motivating factor in those examples. When we think that we can gain worth or value or holiness or holiness from following or exceeding an example that's in front of us. You know that phrase, why can't you be more like Johnny down the road? That's not helpful. That doesn't motivate children. It doesn't motivate adults. That's not the kind of thing that Paul is talking about here. Why can't you be more like the Macedonians? It's not the primary reason to excel in giving, but it's still a reason, which is to say that the example of the Macedonians served as an example to the Corinthian Christians, and the Macedonians are also an example to us. And particularly, I think, in giving beyond our ability. Maybe you've done your sums, you've done your annual budget, and you've figured out how much you can give to this church, to other Christian organisations, to individuals. Perhaps there are missionaries that you support. Perhaps there are particular Christian workers that you support. You've done your sums, you've figured it all out. But then maybe you can give more. Maybe you can give beyond your ability, as the Macedonians were able to give beyond their ability. Excel in the grace of giving because of the example of others. What's the second reason? Well, it's there in verses 6 to 9 of 2 Corinthians 8. Verses 6 to 9. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he is rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. From the Macedonian example, Paul moves to the Corinthians. Titus made a start. Titus was one of those appointed to gather the money for the Jerusalem Christians. Titus needed to finish off that work. He needed to collect the money and go to Jerusalem and deliver that money. And the Corinthians also had a work that they needed to complete as well. Paul says the Corinthians excelled in many areas of life. He's quite lavish in his praise of the Corinthians. But Paul also wants them to excel in this as well. And just as Paul referred to the grace in verse 1, we've got a similar thing here, the grace of giving. Giving is one of those flow-on effects of the grace of God. This is going to be a test for the Corinthians. Can they be as generous as the Macedonians? Can they do as the Macedonians have done? Do their actions back up their words? The Macedonians have shown their cards. They've given the money. And so now it's time to see what cards the Corinthians have. Will they give the money as they said they would? The basis for this is in verse 9. It's the grace of Christ. The rich became poor for their sake, so that through what he had done they might become rich. How is Jesus rich? God from all eternity, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere, the second person of the Trinity. How did he become poor? Well, he took on human flesh. He entered into our existence, into our life here on a messy and broken world, and he submitted to death. And all this for the unlovely, for his enemies, for those who didn't want to have anything to do with him, for those who shook their fists in defiance at him, for those who deliberately turn their backs on him, for sinners like you and me, taking your punishment, bearing the wrath of God, acting as your representative. He became poor so that through his poverty you might be rich. The riches of God, the Lord Jesus winning us salvation, bringing us forgiveness, restoring our relationship to God so that we are heirs of God, so that we're in God's family, giving us a place in heaven. See, what fuels the generosity of the Corinthians? What powers their grace of giving? It is the grace of Christ. Sure, you have the generosity of the Macedonians, and that's quite extraordinary generosity, but the grace that really energizes them is the grace of Christ. See, if it's just the Macedonians' generosity that's motivating them, that's just going to turn into one-upmanship. Your church gave 10%. Well, my church gave 15%. Well, my church is going to give 20%, and so on and so on and so on. That's not what Paul is after. When it's the grace of Christ, I don't think anyone's going to try to one-up Jesus. You can't compete with God. That's foolishness. Because Christ has been generous to me, I'm going to be generous to others. And if that's the case, if that's true for you, then you won't limit your generosity. The Pharisee in all of us wants to draw a line. If I've given 7.638%, then I've fulfilled my Christian duty. I've been generous. However, if we think that Christ has been generous to me, so I'm going to be generous to others, 7.638% doesn't cut it. Putting a percentage on it doesn't cut it. In fact, even if you have been generous, say giving away 30% of all that you have, that's not the end of your generosity. There are still other ways in which you can be generous, because generosity is not just restricted to your money, it's not just restricted to your cash. Having said that, these other ways aren't an alternative to being generous with your money. You might recall that when people become members of the Presbyterian Church of Australia, they make a promise, amongst other things, to give a God-honouring proportion of their time, talents, and money for the work of the church. Time, talents, and money. Excel in the grace of giving because of the grace of Christ. Christ has been gracious to me, I'm going to be generous to others. Christ has been gracious to you, you're going to be generous to others. Christ has been gracious to us, we're going to be gracious to others. The final section that we're going to look at is verses 10 to 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality, as it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. See, it's not as if the Corinthians had a poor track record of giving. On the contrary, they were the first to give, and they were the first to have the desire to give. It's like when you ask for a volunteer to do something, there's always someone who puts their hand straight up. This is the Corinthian church. Hand up, straight away. We need some volunteers to give. Corinthian church, hand straight up in the air. They want to give. They want to be generous. But Paul tells them to do what they volunteered to do. Paul tells them to do what it is that they volunteered to do. He reminds them of their example. That is, they are to excel in the grace of giving because it's an example to others. It's actually the fourth reason in this passage, but we're not going to be spending much time unpacking that today. We'll be doing more of that next week. The third reason that I want to talk about is that giving promotes equality. See, in verses 12 to 14, the principle that we see there is proportional, not absolute giving, which is to say you're generous with whatever you have, whether that's a little or whether that's a lot. Giving begins, being generous begins, not when you start to earn an income. Generosity doesn't begin when you receive a pay packet. It begins way before that. If your parents give you pocket money, are you generous with that? Poor students, and yes, students are poor, but poor students, are you generous with your poverty? If you get some kind of government allowance, are you generous with that? Pensioners, are you generous in your poverty? And workers, are you generous with your salary or your wage or however it is that you're paid? Generosity is with what you have. If you're a six-figure salary, you're generous with that. If you get $20 a week pocket money, you're generous with that. What matters is not the absolute amount of money that you give, but the proportion. You see, a rich person could give $100,000, which is a lot of money. But in comparison to that person's income, $100,000 could be loose change. Whereas a poor person giving $100, that's actually a big deal. Paul's emphasis in these verses is on the proportion. Remember, the generosity of the Macedonians arose out of their poverty and their joy. They are an example to those on low incomes, whether you're a student, you're a pensioner, whatever it is. But the point is not to make yourselves bankrupt, to provide for others, doing it tough. It's the principle of helping others out in proportion to how your bank account is doing. If you work with a fixed percentage, that percentage is going to stay the same, whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. And here's where we see the point of the Old Testament quote that Paul uses, that Old Testament story that we read about in Exodus 16, where people gather varying amounts of manna, but in the end, he who gathered little did not have too little, and he who gathered much did not have too much. In the end, people had enough to survive. Remember the context here. This money being collected was going to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. This wasn't about paying the minister. It wasn't about maintaining the building. It wasn't about supporting missionaries. It was money for Christians who were doing it tough on the financial front. And Paul saw that in this kind of situation, there would be a back and forth giving. As some were prosperous, they would be able to help out the needy. And then as those needy became prosperous, presumably, their prosperity would help out those in need. Is this something that we as a church could do? Perhaps a fund that could be drawn on when members are in tough financial circumstances? Is this something that we could do as individuals? Or is this something that we could do as a denomination? Excel in the grace of giving because of the example of others. Excel in the grace of giving because of the grace of Christ. And excel in the grace of giving because it promotes equality. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the riches that you have demonstrated to us, the great and wonderful grace that you have shown us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that although the Lord Jesus was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Father, we thank you for those great and many blessings you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that as we consider what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, you would be at work in us so that we would be generous to others. Father in heaven, we pray that the example of others might spur us on to generosity. Father in heaven, we pray that equality might spur us on to generosity. And most of all, Father, and overshadowing all these things, we pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage us to excel in the grace of giving. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing.